like to be nice and loud. I can't see you all. Let me just see here. Diana's way in the back in her car. She just is loving this morning. She says, this is, you know, this is the way that the church first started, and this is what it should look like, you know, just right outdoors. I tell you, there was lots of dust in the early church. You know that? Dusty feet and dusty roads. And I'm just so excited about this morning because, I don't know what. Oh, yeah, Dusty. Actually, I got you in my notes here, Dusty. But here, let me start here. I wanted to pick on a few people this morning, but it's just, I almost feel like I need music. I can't carry a tune, but I love all kinds of music. And I love the rappers, you know. I remember going in one time into a church, and I was really heavy. And it was in Detroit, Michigan. And there was a group up there. And I have felt, since I became a Christian, I felt music inside of me. There's music in me. Now, I don't know why I can't sing like my brother. My brother's that got all the musical, you know, notes and everything. But I tell you, there's music going on inside of me, and I just release it all the time. Sometimes I release it in prayer. I pray for people in song. This morning, I was praying on the way in and prophesying and just hearing from God. It was so beautiful, and I want to release just a couple of things right now just by way of picking on a few people, okay? And I can't see everyone on Zoom, but there you are. You're there. Good. Bruce and Susan, I want to pick on them first. I'm going to go just pick on a few people this morning. As I was thinking about you guys, there is a strong call upon your life. A rich deposit has been made. We've watched your lives, and we've seen what God has done over the years. And he's deposited into you to release something out of you. And God has not changed his mind about the calling that's upon your lives and the lives that will be touched through your lives. And I want to say to Dusty this morning that your yes to Jesus will be more contagious than COVID. Okay? Doreen, if you're online, and if you're not online, I'm going to tell her that she's 98 years old. She's one of my heroes. Doreen is her name. And Doreen, if you can hear me, this is what I got this morning. You're an encouragement and an inspiration from the Lord. He has kept you for a prayer assignment that will produce much fruit. 98 years old, God has kept her for prayer. She prays for her family. She prays for us. There's a prayer assignment, and God isn't finished with her. Corey, where are you? There you are, buddy. You're a pioneer making a way for others to walk in and talk in. Okay? You got to think about that one, because I thought that was really from the Lord, you know, that Corey is a pioneer. And he's made a way. Judith, the generous pouring in of the Lord into your life will result in the refreshing of many. I have watched, and we have watched, the Lord generously pour into your life, and it's for the refreshing of many. Keith, back here. Keith is one of my favorite people. It says, Keith, you have strengthened the church more than you will ever know. You need to hear that from the Lord this morning. That's what entered my spirit this morning, that you have strengthened the church. That man with the yellow hat, I don't know. Mitch and Linda, there you are. I was thinking of you this morning. This is what came to me. Your eyes have not seen the full measure of what he has in store for you. Mitch, you've seen a portion. Linda, you've seen a portion, but you've not seen the full measure of what the Lord has in store for both of you. Scott, it's okay that you don't know how gifted you are. It's okay that you don't know how gifted you are. The Lord has made you to sit at a piano while posturing yourself underneath it. And let me keep going. This is for you guys. Scott and Barb, I love the sound of your names together. You know, sometimes with couples, it's just they ring better together. You know, the sound, you know, Scott and Barb. I love the sound of your names together. Barb, you're a wild woman in the spirit. And I had a picture of Don Potter's wife, and you know who she is. Your heart is postured to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. The sound that the Lord brings through you puts the enemy to flight. And so I have a couple more. And I missed one early on. Emily and Priscilla, where are you guys? In the back? You know, when you came in this morning and I made that comment, you know, I really feel that's the Lord. But I saw more to it, is that it can be raining outside, but when you step in the doors, it's sunny inside. And Emily and Priscilla, you know, there's something about being loved. And the Lord wants you to know you're loved of the Lord. And people that are loved of the Lord shine. That's what they do. They shine. So a couple more. Serena. When I was praying and singing and doing whatever I was doing this morning, I got the song Higher Ground, and I only had a chance just to open it up. I haven't sung Higher Ground in many years, but look at that, because that's for you. And it one of the lyrics says, or maybe it's even called, I'm pressing on the upward way. And I really believe Serena's our chief intern, lead. Team lead for our internship this summer. And I really believe, she was with us last summer, but I really believe this summer's for you. that you're gonna impart a lot of things, and you do that very well, and you're gonna do that, but there's a lot for you. There's higher ground for you, and the Lord has some beautiful things in store for you. So that's for you. Barry and Margaret, you kind of are the capstone to this, because I was picturing your household. And I began to sing and began to rap joy, 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 you know, and this is leading up to my message this morning, because there is a joy. There is a joy that you only taste in the Lord. There is no joy like the joy of the Lord. And so I kept hearing this joy, joy, joy over your household, Barry and Margaret. And I began to see it over the church and over the people of God. Joy, joy, joy. And that he was raining like joy. It was like raindrops of joy, joy, joy. And then I saw it kind of change as I was rapping, you know. And it changed into the rain of the Lord. The reign of the Lord, R-E-I-G-H-N, the reign of the Lord. That's where the joy comes from, being underneath the reign of the Lord. And that's where we live. So I don't know if I can stay this excited through my whole message, but I want everybody to know that this message this morning is for everyone. I am so pumped about this message. I want to say it's the greatest message I've ever preached. And I want to say this, not because it's going to be delivered, you know, perfectly or anything like that. It's the greatest message because it has the greatest implications and ramifications. When I see people these days, I don't just see them. I see the people that they influence. I see the people that they're going to cross paths with. That's what I see. I see them, but I see more than them, more than them. So the implications and ramifications are far reaching this morning. Trust me in this. This is the greatest message that you're ever going to hear. Trust me. I mean, I didn't intend to say that, but I don't apologize for it. So listen carefully. Listen carefully. COVID is a thief that has robbed, killed, and destroyed. Now just bear with me, because I took all the COVID, most of the COVID references out of my message. I just, you know, why should I give so much time to that? But I did want to mention this one because it's in the same portion as one of the major verses that I want to bring to you this morning from John chapter 10. But it says in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that the thief has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. I was really brokenhearted just the other day when I learned that a man that we really love, and we have been to meetings that he's hosted in the United States, and I just heard that 4 months ago he lost his beautiful 15-year-old son, you know, during this time, but not to COVID, not to COVID, and he was robbed of that, but there are so what I want to say, and I didn't even intend to say that, but I don't want to gloss over, you know, the dark aspects of COVID, but I want to, I really want to get you excited about this season in which we're living. It's unprecedented in the best possible way. The backdrop, you could paint as dark a background as you want to. And that's the background for the good news. That's the background for the gospel. That's the background for the power of God going forth and setting people free. That's the background. And so COVID is just a background. You know, I used to travel with a group of people, and we used to go to these places. I won't get into it because I don't want to give away too many details, but they used to always complain about their churches. You know, like, I don't know. You know, I tell you, I was born an optimist, and then I read the Bible and I become even more optimistic. So I would input into their lives, you know, and I just was not a complainer. I mean, I've seen the best, the worst, and the, you know, everything, you know, I've seen it all in me. You know, I don't need to look anywhere else, you know, but what God is doing in the church is the very best thing happening on planet Earth. Now I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking about the title of my message this morning is Followers of Jesus. That's what I want to talk about this morning. So now you know where we're going. We're going to talk about followers of Jesus, okay? So COVID came to rob, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said this. He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now listen, that's a powerful verse because I love adventure. You know, I traveled through northern Spain, 800 kilometers. You know, I miss it. You know, I miss that adventure. I miss the four mountain ranges that I got to climb over. You know, I miss some of the adventures in life, you know, in the Czech Republic when I climbed the rock face. And even though it was terrifying, you know, I it was an adventure. But, you know, there is no adventure, nothing more dangerous, nothing more satisfying than following Jesus. There is nothing more dangerous and nothing more satisfying than following Jesus. And I'm going to tell you some things this morning that many of you already know, but some of you have never heard before, and you need to hear these things, because following Jesus is the very best thing that any of us can do in our lives. So Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I don't know where to throw my notes here. Just let them fly in the wind here. Let's see. Matthew 4. I want to turn and read this scripture to you. From Matthew 4, chapter 4. Let me just read a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 4, starting verse 18. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. There you go. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And then over to chapter 9, starting at verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And he said to Matthew, he said, follow me. He told him and he said, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not for the healthy that I've come. They don't need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to myself. Come follow me, Jesus said. Those are the most powerful words, you know. The invitation with our name attached to it. Follow me, Jesus said. You know, the Lord wants to put a yes in our spirits. And this is very important. Some of this stuff I'm just going to sprinkle in for free, okay? But listen to this. He wants to put a yes in our spirits. Now, I want you to emphatically, with a smile, say no. I want you to just try it all with me. No, try it. Just try it. Okay. Now, I want you to emphatically say yes with a smile. Yes. You see the difference? You know, even our mouths were made to say yes to God. They were made to have a yes in our spirits. And I tell you, if you will settle that with God, if you will settle with him that you are going to be a follower of Jesus and you will say yes to him, you will enter into the greatest adventure of your life. But it may also be the most dangerous decision that you have ever made. St. Ignatius, I love the guys. You know, Scott mentioned the Catholic guys. We hang out with these two born again priests, and Marvin and I. You know, it's like a joke. You know, the pastor, the priest, and the rabbi. You know, but you know, I like going back into church history, and I mean, there were a lot of these guys in church history. And a lot of them had things to teach us and things to learn from. And there's one that was called, there's a man called St. Ignatius, and he lived around in the 1500s. And he had this posture. And his posture, even if you see a statue, you'll see that he has one foot raised to step into the emerging opportunities that God brings into his life. This is a posture, brothers and sisters. The followers of Jesus have this posture. They are ready to step into the emerging opportunities that present themselves from God to them. And the yes in their spirit enables them to do it, even though it's uncomfortable. How many know that there's nothing, you know, last year I kept pumping this into you guys. I said, we're rain or shine Christians. I wanted you to understand that we're not shine Christians. I remember being out for a walk on the trail and it started to rain, you know, and I thought, man, I should just go home, you know, and then I thought, no, I've been telling these folks we're rain or shine Christians, you know, and I finished that walk in the rain. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we're called to persevere, to press on, and that's for free. Okay. Now, this is the essence of my message right here. This is it. I just was sitting in my favorite chair this week, early on in the week, and just these thoughts began to come to me. And it was simply this: loving you is not enough. Loving you is not enough. You know, I remember when I came back to this church 20 years ago, we were meeting in Pinecrest this school 20 some years ago. And I remember standing at the back and my heart was, I just looked out and there were people and I knew that they were, I knew some of the struggles. I knew some of their lives and I just, my heart was going out to them and I just felt such love, but you know, loving is not enough. It's not enough. Having the times, we've had some beautiful times here and in West Ottawa. I'm sorry, guys. I don't think I'm wandering off. But if I wander off, does this still work? Good. Okay. So just tell me if anybody can hear me, but sharing friendships and stories is not enough. I refuse to be satisfied with anything less than seeing people fully committed to Jesus, followers of Jesus. This is my heart. This is, if you want to know the passion of my life, if it's that, it's that, because I know that, you know, like it's easy to feed a person, you know, and a lot of people have discovered this. And we have a dear friend up in the mountains of Nicaragua, and she's discovered that it's better to start an agricultural school and teach them to be able to have skills and take care of themselves than it is to just have feeding centers. Now, feeding centers have their place. But I tell you, you get a man, a woman, a young person in touch with Jesus, and they say yes to him, and they become a follower of him. There are no limits. You know, I have seen financial miracles in people's lives. I'm a collector of stories. You know that. I collect so many stories. That's why I have so many COVID stories. I was talking to Lyle this morning. Soon Lyle's going to give a testimony, and we're going to be blessed. I think in 2 weeks, Lyle, we're going to have a morning of testimonies. But I tell you, there are COVID stories that I have put in my heart that have absolutely blessed me. And Lyle's story is among those stories. And I'm so thankful, Lyle, for what God has done. The scripture speaks of the centrality of Christ and the preeminence of Christ and the lordship of Christ. It talks about him being first, you know, and it's so important. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And, you know, in John 3, which is, you know, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, in John 3, he writes, he says, I've got no greater joy than to see you walking in the truth. I have no greater joy. Now, who was the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And John writes these words. He says, I have no greater joy than to see you walking in the truth. That is just, I tell you, there is no joy like that. In fact, heaven agrees with me, right? In Luke chapter 15, heaven agrees with me. There is a party going on when someone turns to the Lord. I traveled through Central and South America with Youth with a Mission in my late teens. And I remember when I was home, and I missed so much of the people and so much of what happened in South America and Central America. I was walking one day, I was home, and I lived on Chapman Boulevard. And I'm walking down Chapman Boulevard, and I'm praying for this young lady that we had met at a youth camp. It was an outdoor event that was put on by a church, and she was not a Christian. She was not a follower of Jesus, and she came. She was invited to come. And I remember walking down Chapman Boulevard, and I began to pray for this young lady. I just began to cry out to God for her. And I got home, and I opened the mailbox, and there was a letter from South America, from Peru, where she lived. And she wrote in this letter that she was a university student and had got connected with a university group, a Christian group on the campus. And she had surrendered her life to Jesus, and she was a follower of Jesus. I tell you, there's nothing greater to hear than a story like that, that someone has, you know, and because, you know, it's like you can't help a person. They live in Peru, you live in Canada, and you just so much want to help somebody. Have you ever been there? I just want to help people. I want to reach in and meet their needs. When my kids were little and your kids were little, we met all their needs, you know? Then they got big, they got bigger, and you felt more helpless, didn't you? You know, but you know, the Lord is never helpless. And that's where prayer is so important. And when he gets a hold of a person, their helplessness turns to a strength that they never knew before. It turns to a grace and an ability to walk with Jesus and to have his provision in their lives and his direction for their lives. COVID season has been an incredible season of the heart for me, an incredible season of the heart. I can't exaggerate how it's been good for my heart, how my heart has softened in these days. You know, one thing I saw was this, you know, through COVID, I saw repentance has been separated from Christianity. There's been a separation of repentance from Christianity, but it cannot be separated from followers of Jesus. Okay, this is really important, what I'm going to be sharing with you in the next few minutes, okay? Repentance is very important. To repent and turn to the Lord, to confess our sins, to bring them to the cross, and to ask his forgiveness and be cleansed and to receive a pure heart and a right heart before God is of utmost importance for a follower of Jesus. Utmost importance. Because the Bible says that our hearts are like a well, and it's called the Bible calls it the wellspring of life, and things proceed from our hearts. You know, often, you know, there's no disconnect between our mouths and our hearts, you know. And often we just open our mouths. Sometimes, you know, I have to take James's words, you know, be slow to speak, quick to listen, be slow to anger, because the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. So God offends our minds to reveal our hearts. Have you ever had your mind offended in order that your heart might be revealed? I want to give you an example. I was in Kansas City. Our kids were just little, and we went to Kansas City. We read a beautiful article about the Kansas City prophets. Now, I'm not going to go too far into that, except These were very exciting days, and we wanted to go down for this conference in Kansas City. And we went down there, and we landed at the place where the conference was taking place, and we accidentally parked in this huge, huge parking lot that was the parking lot for a huge, huge denominational church, Christian church. Okay, so bear with me. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I'm telling you it was a Christian church, and it was a big church, and they had a big parking lot, and we parked in their parking lot. And I remember, you know, just getting out of the car and the kids were little. We just sort of started walking towards where the conference was being held, you know. And these people came over and they were dressed in suits and they were, you know, they were polite and nice and everything, but not overly smiley. But they let us know that we were in the wrong parking lot. You know, we were just not in the right parking lot. We needed the parking lot over there by the athletic center. This athletic center that was filled with young people dressed in shorts and t-shirts and blue jeans, people who were fresh out of the world, who had just come to Jesus, and or some who maybe hadn't even begun to follow Jesus. And we sat on bleachers and we were in this auditorium, and the Lord used this picture to share something very important with me. He shared with me the story of the prodigal son, you know, and when the prodigal son came home, you know, the elder brother could not even enter in and rejoice with what was going on. The father said, we must rejoice. This son was dead. Now he's alive. You know, we must rejoice. And you know what he said? And you got to hear this. You got to hear this, brothers and sisters. This is so good. You got to hear the music that's going on. You know, the elder brother comes home and he hears music, you know, and this music is going on. And the father just appeals to him, you know, to come in and to celebrate. And he says this, these are beautiful words. I just want to find it. Yeah, he says this. He says, my son, the father said, and he says this to the elder son, and I'm an elder son. I've been in the church for over 40 years. I've been, you know, a Christian over 40 years now. It's a long time. I know I look a lot younger. But you know, we can become like the elder brother, you know, and we can say, you know, get, you know, you just got to get cleaned up a little bit more before you know, come to our church. I tell you, I remember one time sitting in church and I was smelling tobacco. Now, listen, I'm going to tell something that's not in my notes here. And that was that I used to smoke and I still like the smell of tobacco. Now I never, you know, some of you are going to turn off, you know, not hear anything else, but I don't mind the smell of tobacco. But I remember being in church and smelling the smell of tobacco. And I thought, oh, this is good. You know, I grew up in the church. I came into the church in the 70s where there was a beautiful Jesus movement. And I smelled more than tobacco. And I did a funeral service a couple of years ago. And on the funeral grounds, there was a smell of marijuana, you know, and I remember a guy coming up to me and he said, you know, back at the church, he said, were you recruiting? You know, this was his way. You know, were you recruiting? You know, like, and you know, he had heard a gospel message and said, are you recruiting? I said, well, Jesus has been recruiting for over 2,000 years. He's been recruiting followers of him. So, okay, that's enough of that. Do you hear the music? Do you hear the music? On May 19th, I stepped outside and I heard the word outside my house. I heard the word watch. Watch. Watch is in the same root, is the same root word for wake or to be awakened or awake. We need to be observing. We need to be attentive. And if we judge, this is one of my favorite statements. If we judge by what our outward eyes see, simply by what our outward eyes see, we will come to the wrong conclusions. And I know that for a fact because the Lord has been so good to me because I can judge with the best of them. And I have story after story after story, but this is what I want to tell you that's happened in my life personally. So this is my story, is that when I have judged, the Lord has brought conviction to my heart and he began to show me something. Because I humbled myself, he began to show me something I would have never seen had I not humbled myself, because my eyes did not see what was actually going on. They saw something, but they didn't see the actual thing that was happening. And the other thing the Lord has allowed is he's allowed me to enter in, and he's shown me this very clearly. And I got some great examples of this, where I have been able to enter into places where I have refused to judge, where I began to judge. I repented and said, Lord, I will not judge. And doors opened into that place. I could tell you story after story after story. There is a great connection to the opening of doors to our refusal to judge by what our eyes see, because the Lord is doing often more behind our backs than he is in front of our faces. He is at work for his glory, Barnabas is a biblical. You want a biblical example? I love this story. Barnabas went to Antioch, and the Bible says that he rejoiced. in the grace of God that he saw. Now, I love this because there was something visible in the church of Antioch that Barnabas saw. There is something visible over your lives that I can see by the Spirit that I can't see in the natural. There is something God will allow us to see people in a way that we've never seen them before. And like Barnabas, and this is the beautiful story about Barnabas. He got to enter into something his hands had nothing to do with. The hands of Barnabas were not over the work in Antioch. He had not done what God had done by his grace. But because he rejoiced in that grace, God allowed him to enter into it. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so I'm almost done. I got almost giddy, and I wrote this in my diary. In my journal. Call it whatever you want, because I don't capture every thought. And if your name's in there, it's only the letters. it's a joke. But I got giddy about the word watch. I just started getting giddy about that word, and it created an excitement and an anticipation for what the Lord would do and will do. And so I want to share a couple of postures with you that are so key. And these are COVID postures that I learned through COVID. Two of them really important. The first one is the Keith Green posture. And that's, I alluded to Scott. Scott's got this posture because he plays the piano so beautifully. And he doesn't know the strength, the depth of the anointing that's upon his life. But Keith Green, who some of you know, he died way back in the 80s in a plane crash. We were honored to be at Jesus Festivals and hear Keith Green play. And he was a modern day prophet who spoke it like it was. He didn't tickle ears. You know, he spoke out against, you know, in one festival we were at, he talked about the Jesus junk that was going on in the tents behind him, you know, where people were selling piggy banks with Jesus Saves on it and things like that. Keith Green, you know, really disrupted the music industry because he began to make his music available for free. You know, other Christian musicians were making money off their music, and Keith Green said, you can make a donation, but if you don't have any money, you can have my album for free. And so Keith Green was in a meeting, and his heart was for revival. He wanted to see a move of God, and he wanted to see something just that was not of man. It didn't have the fingerprints of man on it, but it was a sovereign move of God. And he was at a place where this began to happen, and he had a historian with him by the name of Winky Pratney, a church historian, and he said, Winky, is this it? You know, and Winky said, yes. There's something very authentic about what's happening right here in this meeting. It was very powerful. Keith Green got underneath his piano and stayed there because he didn't want to touch or get in the way of what God was doing. And this has always stuck with me. I you know, if you ever hear me, you can't hear my prayers, but if you ever heard them, you'd be hearing me pray for a piano in the weirdest of places. What's this guy doing praying for a piano? Lord, I want a piano. I want to get underneath this piano because I don't want to touch what you're doing. It's too beautiful. It's too marvelous. It's too marvelous. The other one is Jehoshaphat. During COVID, he really spoke to my life because it says that when Jehoshaphat was surrounded by a great army, and it looked like certain defeat, and it was terrible. So King Jehoshaphat, he has this famous line in there where he says to the Lord, he says, "We don't know what to do." And I'll tell you, these are some of the most beautiful prayers that you can pray. Lord, we don't know what to do. I remember on the Camino one time walking along one of the paths, and someone had put a sign there, and it simply said, "Help." I thought, you know, so there's another great prayer that you can pray. But Jehoshaphat prayed, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And I have loved that prayer during COVID because as followers of Jesus, we will never, ever be without knowing what we are to do. Step by step by step. You may not have the 5-year planner filled out. I guarantee you won't, especially during COVID, you know. Oh, don't get me started here. But Jehoshaphat said, "My eyes are on you." Okay, I'm almost done, but listen to this. On June 12th, 3 a.m., that was yesterday, wasn't it? June 12th, 3 a.m., I woke up and I had this phrase in my mind, and it was, "Hanging out with Jesus changes everything." Hanging out with Jesus changes everything. I hope that you've watched The Chosen. It's one of the most, it's probably the most important series right now, TV series that you could possibly watch, The Chosen. If you watch and are attentive, you're going to hear things that will impact your spiritual life, such as that phrase, that beautiful phrase, "Get used to different." Get used to different. Remember? So beautiful. I preached on "Get used to different." I talked about COVID, and I said, COVID's not it. You know, COVID's changed the world, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, when I say "get used to different," I'm talking about get used to the followers of Jesus and what they're going to do at this season of time. You know, COVID tried to shut down a three, you know, young people that filled 3 stadiums in Brazil just before COVID struck. Thousands and thousands of students in one day filled 3 stadiums in a major city in Brazil. And at the end, there was a call to go into all the world with the gospel. And they took off their shoes and they lifted them to heaven and committed their lives to going into all the world to preach the gospel. You know, the Moravians, I've talked to you about them. The Moravians sold themselves into slavery in order to bring the gospel to the unreached peoples, the people that would never hear it otherwise. Isn't she adorable? Her name is Charlotte. She is just beyond beautiful. Beautiful. So get used to different. This is important. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll leave that out. But I'm not leaving this out. A friend of mine sent me a cartoon, and I thought this was brilliant. And he writes in the subject line, he says, self-explanatory. Now, you got to know me in cartoons. Like it took me a few seconds. She just blesses my heart, this little one. We go walking together sometimes. Hey, Charlotte? And sometimes we call you Charlie. I tell you, isn't that beautiful? She's just so sweet. So where was I? The cartoon. So self-explanatory. So here it was. And here it said the cartoon was this. It was these people in heaven. They're in heaven, and it says most. This is the caption. For the cartoon. Most of the new arrivals seem incapable of conversation. They just stare at their hands in despair. And it took like this, you know, in despair. Now, can you see that? I mean, I hope you're getting it. I don't know. It took me a couple of minutes, but I mean, they didn't have their iPhones or their Blackberries with them. It's terrible when you got to explain a joke, okay? But it says, most of the new arrivals seem incapable of conversation. They just stare at their hands in despair. Okay, here's something about COVID. COVID robbed us of people. It really did. When I walked the paths, and this is one example I'll use, and I've used it many times, it robbed me of that interaction with people on the trails that I would connect with, that had significant connection with it. And I've had people turn away. I've had people cover their faces. I had people, you know, just, and it hurt my heart, you know, and that's where judgment was. You know, judgment began at the very beginning. And then I said, no, I'm not going there. And I began to pray. And every time that happened, I just prayed for that person, because we don't know. Someone said, you know, be kind, because you don't know what it's like to walk in their shoes or what situations they're going through. So I just would pray for those people. But what I have found of late, I'm hearing the music again. What I found of late is that people want to connect. And there are some great lines. You can use these lines. I was on the path yesterday, this long stretch, and a man was listening to a podcast or something. I tried to kind of tune in as I was walking by him, because he was going slower than me. And then I turned around and I said, what are you listening to? And then it led to a conversation. There's some great opening lines. I had one not too long ago where I simply said, do you feel like, talkative. I don't know what I said, something along those lines, and it opened the door. But what I'm finding is the doors are opening. They're opening. Take those opportunities, and people don't mind, you know, like, and there is an opening and an openness that's coming. Okay. I'm at the end. Let me just see where I want to end here. You know, COVID, I didn't remove all my COVID notes here. So let me mention a couple, COVID seeks to set our agendas and to forecast our future. Now, this is really important. COVID seeks to set our agendas and to forecast our futures. Now, I just had this thought, you know, Corona means like crown, you know, like it's got this crown aspect to it. And we're talking about the crown. We're talking about him who is crowned Lord of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, you know, there's somewhere where we have to bow, and it's not to the crown of COVID. We don't bow to the crown of COVID. We don't bow to its agenda or its forecast for the future. Every once in a while, I'll turn on its channel in Ottawa because I want to hear what most people are listening to, or a lot of people are listening to. I call it the COVID channel. Now, what I want to say about the COVID channel is simply this, is that it not only tells me how dire situations are right in the present, it tells me what I should anticipate. It's planning my future for me. I would rather Jesus plan my future for me. I would rather follow him into the future than follow COVID into the future. Okay, so that's David did a much better job, the psalmist David. And David, I had a lot of beautiful thoughts about you this morning as well, my brother Dave Hoffman. But you know, you've just been given the most beautiful name. And I mean, You don't get much better than that. So you got something really beautiful happening in the name David, which means beloved of God. But David had it really right in Psalm 27, where he said this. He said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's where we live. He sets our agenda. Walking with him, yes, it might be the most dangerous decision that you've ever made. And there are no guarantees, but it's the very best decision that you could ever make. Okay, I gotta end here. I don't know where to end. The early Christians were called people of the way or followers of the way. And our church started back in the early 70s, and we were called the Way People. And we called ourselves the Church of the Way or Way People, people of the way, because Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and we're followers of the way. And so we were Way People. Justin Martyr, I want to reach back into church history and just give you one quote, because you guys need to hear about how this thing began and what the Christians looked like back then. Listen to this. Justin Martyr, who lived from 100 AD to 165, so that was early on, shortly after Jesus' death. Listen to this. He says this. He says, we who formerly valued above all things the acquisition of wealth and possessions now bring what we have into common stock and communicate to everyone in need. We who hated and destroyed one another on account of their different manners would not live with men of a different tribe. Now, since the coming of Christ, we live familiarly with them and we pray for our enemies. There was such a radical transformation in the followers of Jesus that people saw it. You know, during a huge, I mean, you want to talk about a pandemic, during a time where bodies were being buried in ditches, the secular observers saw that the Christians not only buried their own dead, but they buried the dead of those who were not Christians. That's what happened in the early church. That's the kind of Christianity that reflects followers of Jesus. I'm going to end with this story. I'm not even going to look what else. Well, let me take a look. there's such beautiful things. That'll be for part B. I want to tell you about Alexander the Great, one of the greatest warriors that ever lived, conquered most of the known world, if not all the known world. One thing that Alexander the Great couldn't stand were deserters. You know, there was another thing that wasn't put up with back then. And it was those that fell asleep while they were on duty. That was frowned upon. In fact, it was punishable by death. And so one night, Alexander the Great was walking among his troops, and he found a young man, and the young man had fallen asleep. And he woke the young man, and he said to him, he had compassion that, you know, when he saw this young man, and, you know, he was, you know, they would actually pour kerosene on these men that would fall asleep and light them on fire. This was what would take place, you know, and what could have taken place. But when he woke him, he said he had compassion on him. He was a young man, and he just kind of saw him, you know, saw the youthfulness of this man. And he said, what is your name? And the man said, very nervously, he said, Alexander. And Alexander the Great said, what is your name? He said, Alexander, sir. What is your name? And he said, Alexander. And he said to him, change your conduct or change your name. Change your conduct or change your name. Now, I want to suggest to you that we do both. I want to suggest that we refer to ourselves as followers of Jesus. That we not only refer to ourselves as followers of Jesus, more importantly, we become followers of Jesus. That's better, you know. Followers of Jesus, whose lives reflect the one we're following. So, Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, I just, with my eyes, Lord, open, I ask, Lord, that you would do what only you can do in all of our hearts. I pray that there would be a transaction that takes place right now between every heart and you. Jesus, I pray that we would hear like Matthew, and we would hear like the other disciples. We would hear the words, follow me. And we'd hear our name. We'd hear our name, you calling us by name to follow you. And Lord, let there be a resounding yes in our spirit right now, Lord. We will follow you. We will follow you, Jesus. We will be your followers, your disciples, your learners, your students. Jesus. Holy Spirit, complete the work that you began. I want to end with one scripture. This is very important. And I just want to conclude with this one verse. And this is so beautiful on many levels, but this verse is interesting in that it encapsulates the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. Jesus said, "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you are to say or how you're to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This is one of the most beautiful scriptures that encapsulates the importance of walking with Jesus, of being followers of Jesus, of not being concerned about what's to come. Corrie Ten Boom, who lived during the Second World War and was put in a concentration camp, began. This is. Can I just end with one more thing? This is so important because this is for older Christians, you know, and that's that. Followers, the following Jesus is not for the young only. Following Jesus for all of us. You know, you've heard this phrase. It's often used in the financial realm. My friend would know this, but it's called help me out. What is it? No, when you're like, you know, afraid of risk adverse. Right? There we go. I got it. Risk averse. And a lot of people, when they get older, they become risk averse, which means that you're not willing to take much risk with your money. You know, when you're younger, you'll gamble you'll invest a lot more and, you know, you're willing to take risk. Well, I wanted to end on this note because it's so important that older Christians understand that those of us that have been Christians for a long time understand that there is no risk averse followers. There's no risk averse. There's no D in there. There's no risk averse followers of Jesus. It's not in the Bible. You can't find it there. So you're a follower of Jesus or you're not a follower of Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then there will be risk for young and for old. I just wanted to honor Nancy because Nancy, bless my heart, during the rain or shine period, Nancy was always out. And she said to me, she said, "Chuck, if you decide to stay out all winter, I'm gonna put on my best parka and join you." So Nancy, I wanted to say that because, you know, some things land on my heart and they just stay there, you know, because they bless me so much. And this scripture says this, and I tell you, brothers and sisters, we sang "O Canada" for a reason this morning. We interceded for our nation for a reason this morning. And the Bible says this, and our laws are such, the changes that are happening, you know, just spin the head. You know, they're mind-blowing what's going on in our nation and the changes and the laws that are being passed day by day. I remember almost crying the other day. It just moved me when I read about this one law that they're passing, and it's going to strip us of any freedom of speech, you know, any way of just saying what, you know, like anyway, you know the law, you know the laws, and there are many, many more. Abortion. Choosing the sex of a child, telling your little baby girl that you're not being able to tell your little baby girl that she's a baby girl and not a boy. Like it's getting, as one rapper says, exponentially dumb. And so listen to this. This is what Jesus says. "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This is for the older folks. Corrie Ten Boom began her ministry as a globetrotter after the time in her concentration camp. She brought love and the message of love and forgiveness all over the world, but she did it as an older person and into her elderly life. That's when her greatest effect in ministry was. But she told a story about her father, and she was worrying about something. Her father said to her, "said When do I give you the ticket? When we're going on a train, when do I give you the ticket?" And she said to him, "Just before we get on the train." He says, "That's the same with your Heavenly Father. He will give you the ticket just when you need it, just at that time." So grace will be given to the followers of Jesus when you need it. What to say and how to say it. Well, I could preach just on that and I'm over. But, you know, it's not only what to say, but it's how to say it. So, Father, I thank you for everyone here and the grace that you've given them to sit in this warm weather and to listen and to hear. this, Lord, to hear your word, and I just leave everything in your hands, Lord. I pray that the ramifications and implications of our following you would be felt, Lord, all over. I pray that it would spread like wildfire, I pray, in Jesus' name.